What are you telling me? They lie? What, for money? How much money are you talking about here? Jackbox, you only have to be right like once a year and then you can coast. Yeah, maybe you just coast.
Yeah, you just coast. If you ever teach them that the kingdom is within, as Jesus taught, then it's game over. But of course, that would be game over for the entire world and all religions, which we can't have that. So let's just keep playing the game, shall we? You know, I have to believe that reality is tailor-made for us, each one of us, to learn lessons. And, you know, it's funny how my reality would be different from your reality, would be different from someone else's, but each one is hard, you know, and it's funny that the wealthiest or most well-to-do among us complain the most. Have you noticed that? It's something I started thinking about today, and I just realized that the people with all the power and all the mansions and all the hedge funds and all the, you know, the burnt down Maui and run the presidents of the United States and the rest of the world, and they're completely miserable. You know what they do all day long? They complain. They're not allowed to have God. They're not. You see, with God, with Jesus, the one thing, the one force, it's like a force. So we always talk about, you know, I wish that I could explain to Sunday school students the what. I wish they would let, they're not going to let me in. They stay as far away from me. I'm so banned that they have my name blotted out. They got me banned in, you know, in everywhere, in every language, because they can't have this message get out. It's not just about selling out, like Justin Bieber giving Diddy a blowjob to sell out, putting it on the internet. Gee, I didn't know that's what you had to do. You know, I'm, I think we can graduate beyond that. The what? So, Jesus being the spiritual dimension, being the reality, okay? There's like this force, you know, and the closer you are to Christ, the more this force influences you. And then slowly, and this is what's so great about it, slowly the what, Jesus, strips you of any and all expectations for this earth. So that man over there in that wheelchair is just as valid as that guy running that 100-yard dash or 100-meter whatever in the Olympics. Both are equal. And so in Christ and with that acknowledgement, both can be happy. The wheelchair guy, and I have some experience in this now, which I never had before. I never even really considered. I'll just go through my, tell you a little bit about my own process. I never really considered anything about the handicapped. I just wish they would speed up, you know. Having a little bite of some cottage cheese here for the protein. So I realized that in this world, you know, somebody in a wheelchair is really completely invisible. You know what I mean? Unless they're famous, like Governor Abbott of Texas. They're really invisible. And but they're supposed to be unhappy. And the rich man in the mansion, living up in a $30 million mansion, Holmby Hills, or a $50 million waterside estate in Miami or something, he's supposed to be the happiest in the world. But because no matter what they did with the stone of the corner, no matter what they think about Jesus, to deny the space between the cells, okay, stay with me, please, to deny the space between the lights, between the stars, would be to deny Jesus. It's the entire reality is a force. And so what that force does, besides influencing all the events that happen to you, because the force is there before you were born, it goes ahead of you. And it, you know, we get challenges. But you'll notice that usually with these challenges, even though they're horrific and painful, there's some kind of peace that comes with the acknowledgement that this is not home. It is a created thing. It is to be occupied by us. But along about the time the covenant changed to Jesus, you know what I mean? We had Old Testament, New Testament. So about that time of the New Testament, you know, Jesus, you know, we had a physical Jesus, which is very unusual. The physical lamb. It's like God in the flesh on earth. And he's mainly saying, you know, divest of this world. Don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll wear. Don't worry about, you know, the what they say about you. Don't worry about being persecuted, because if you're with Jesus, you are not participating in the game of earth, which is basically satanic and based on, you know, the Justin Bieber school of selling out or whatever. The selling out is not just about acts of sex or doing favors for people or even murder. Selling out is about separating your soul from God. And for that, there is a reward in temporal wealth or temporal temporal connection to the earth. But the earth is dying every day. Oh, no, it doesn't matter about when the earth ends. It means it's dying. People are dying every day. People are in sorrow every day. People are killing each other every day. Violence has gotten completely out of control, and you know, now the Biden administration is backtracking on Israel, telling it to, you know, demanding a ceasefire, trying to make Israel the bad guy before the election. That Biden was right on, you know, just a mess. Everywhere you look, a mess, and it's all created by the people who worship the earth, which means, hold on, doesn't mean bowing down before a globe in an altar somewhere. It means participation in the game, which is the hive mind game, which is where your gang stalking comes from for people that don't participate. And I suppose persecution comes to whistleblowers, to people that have been in the system. But you see, they have to go through punishment. They don't get rewarded because they're just on the beginning of their journey. You see, they're just beginning to walk with God. They're just beginning to understand. Some people have a long prison sentence, and in that long prison sentence, they discover the truth. And the truth sets you free in this way. Because I've lived it, so the key is to put it into words that we can all understand. So the force of Jesus separates me from the game, from the world system, from everything, from people's comments about whatever I've created, to the specter of nuclear war, to all of it. I have nothing to do with any of it. It is not my... The reason I don't is because... It's not because I use my will. It's because there's a force stronger than me that flips the reality that, you know, in terms of... That flips my reality to a different frequency, if you will, which is Christ, which is the main message from which of the what is that you are not part of this world. Now, to be in it and not of it. You've heard these statements. These are all, you don't get this from any other religion. This is not even a religion. It's a reality. The force of the entire universe is Christ. The force of all things where there is force is Christ. The force of all creation is Christ. The people that would go backwards because they're offered some trinkets or some prestige or fame or, you know, the mansions or the boat or whatever it is they want. But along with that comes total misery. Have you noticed One of the biggest complainers that I've seen are guys like Bill Gates, Larry Fink, you know, the richest of the world, the rich, evil people of the world. And they complain endlessly because it's not enough for them to have mansions, power, you know, fuck you money, or whatever. It that they then turn, this is in their nature, because of complanatory existence, complanatory consciousness, they turn to someone they can hurt because they become a psychopath. Why? Those that sow to the world become the psychopaths, become the people hunting other people to put them in misery. And that becomes the game. The real game is the hunt. And then, of course, there's the abuser. So if you take this Sean Combs guy, this is a good example of an abuser. But any of them could be. You know, they get some power, they become an abuser. It's the force brings them to be an abuser. And they abuse people by making them compromise their soul. In other words, making them guilty and ashamed for what they've done for their fame. And they hope no one finds out about it because they would like to think, or at least believe for a little while, they want you to believe they earned it. They earned their fame. They earned their fortune. They earned their position. And they did not. None of the people that I just mentioned earned anything. You take a guy like Gates, the whole thing was teed up for him before he even was born. It was all rigged. It was all basically scripted. In fact, a lot of things that happen in the future come to us from ahead in time. And then they're thrown in our face. But again, to make the world afraid, to make the world miserable, to prey upon humans in the world, to call them worthless, to call them shit, to destroy the family, create famine, create war, dismember them from their work, family, and even in their own bodies. And wreak all the havoc with the expectation that you're going to hear a lot of wailing and moaning from your handiwork of hurting the people. This is the absence of God. See, this is the thing about this world that makes it, it's very peculiar. It's very specifically designed to do just what it's doing now. In other words, the world's acting completely normal. It was like this 50 years ago, you know, so it's nothing new. It's been like this from the beginning. The whole point of which is to help people, and now through force, right, through starvation, disease, bankruptcy, and any other social control they can think of. That would do great harm. And so, some of these people become so psychotic, they would love to be in a flat, say up in Manhattan or up in San Francisco, and look down on all the feces and shit and people and needles and degradation, and then get off on it. Just enjoy that privilege of being so rich, of being so above it all. And causing it all, and enjoying the power of having caused the chaos, and the tears, and the broken hearts. Relishing. Well, that's fine. That's fine. That's what they are supposed to do. So, well, you know, that's why God is so elusive. People think God wouldn't put us here in a world like this, where we beg God for help and we get killed. Would he? And then you realize the whole point of it all. What's the whole point of your existence? What's the point of my existence?
God.
Right, but what's the point of finding God, of finding truth? God is just another word for truth. So what's the point of finding the truth? The world's not meant for ongoing habitation. It comes to ruin every generation. So since that doesn't work, since the mansion people don't work, since the cruelty doesn't work, since the game doesn't work, anyone that plays the game is, by definition, a loser, an idiot, a fool. And that's just how I, you know, I mean, that gets me in trouble when I treat them that way. But I'm sorry, I don't respect people that play the game. I don't respect it because I find it to be just really pretty much intellectually bankrupt. I find it to be detestable, really, people that want, you know, because ultimately the game, the whole purpose of it, is in order to get to alleviate your tears and your problems and your being lost and being upset and being all alone and having a long road to walk and no help. So you turn to the game only to learn after a while, after maybe a few years, that the whole point of it is to harm other people. That's the crux. That's the essence of the game, is to harm others, to harm humans, your fellow humans. When families get power, the woman usually takes over. And what's the first thing she does, the wife, besides her social clubs and all the prestigious charities and all the things that the rich ladies do? She turns completely psycho and tries to ruin the children and then uses that to blame others of how she's been a good mother and they, and you know, and everybody else has harmed them. As if she can blame her failures in life on them. You know, and it happens over and over again. And then the good son, the good daughter, follows the rules of the game, learning at an early age, goes to the right prep school, the right, you know, the right clubs, the right camping, the right associations, the right cotillion, the right, you know, parties, the right everything, and does everything as mapped out, usually by the mother, to boost them into the next generation that will then take over from all the hard work they've done. Well, ladies, mothers deserve a round of applause when their kids get into Harvard or get into any of these schools. It's the same principle. They're not getting in there unless, you know, they try to do this sort of, well, they all have to be associated. If there's any, there can't be anyone in the group calling truth, because that would ruin the game. But the game is, it's not really a game. What it is, it's an entropic force, entropy meaning to wear down, as you know, in time we wear down as people, and everything wears down and then dies and then another one is born, right? So while you're here alive, the point is that it's not worth it if there's no peace. You see, there is a point to your life, and that is that when you really surrender to the truth, you know, which is Christ, the truth, you know, conformed before the world was founded, slain before the foundation of the world. When you finally recognize the truth and abide in it, you are what? Set free. But what does that mean? That means from feeling bad. That we go back to the initial example of the guy in the wheelchair having the joy, and the guy in the mansion with all the perks the world has to offer, screaming, yelling, and complaining, and complaining, and then turning on his fellow man because he just can't think of anything else to do, to give himself pleasure. Blessed be the man that is already at peace, sees the whole thing for what it is, and is grateful for having been moved to the, having flipped the world. So that force that causes people to play the game. You play the game because you psych out. You play the game because you don't think that God will help you. Playing the game is an actual, it's a Judas move. It's a backstab in the back of God. It is absolutely the enemy of God Almighty. They go, well, I didn't have any choice. I had to. How many times have I heard this? Rather than, why don't you just, if you want to talk to me about it, let's just pray together. But no, you have to make a, you want to justify how bad your life was, and then finally you found a life raft. Only the life raft wasn't Christ. And all I can tell you is that will lead to a tremendous, well, I'll just say this. You know that bad feeling you get when you do something wrong? You know, when you have to live with that shame and you need to do something to redeem yourself, but you can't think of anything and you're just kind of living, you're going to eat it. And let's say that piles up incident after incident your whole life. Well, you'll be a screaming nut job by the time you get all your mansions and all your boats and all your airplanes. It's going to be the guy that cleans the plane. It's going to be the pilot. It's going to be the people managing your businesses. It's going to be just, you know, all hell will just be raining down all the time because of feel. But what's causing it? Feeling guilt, shame, terrible, feeling illegitimate, not being satisfied, feeling completely lost, as they all do. Then, of course, they're, you know, like I say, the women of the household turn mean, usually. A great example would be Jill Biden. She's looks like one of the meanest people that I think you're ever going to see. If you don't want to play Satan's game, I think that she'd, she has her own son, you know, in public, you know, playing the game in public, you know what I mean, unashamed. And when a person's conscience is seared, you know, they can be unashamed for a while, but not forever. At some point, there's a day of reckoning, okay? So I can just tell you through my own, like, you know, debacle in the hospital and this and that, I've had a lot of time to think about these things and continue to think about them, you know? Turns out I was right all along, which is nice, right? That gives me a good feeling that I haven't been on some wild goose chase. And I'm left with a feeling of there's pain in illness, there's pain in old age, there's pain in infirmity and things like that. But you know what's really nice? It's really nice to know that even though people try to blame you for stuff you didn't do, it's good to know in your heart who you are, but that you're totally with this force of Christ, this world-flipping thing. Because when Jesus flips the world for me, I mean, I know all this stuff's going on that's all bad and horrible and whatnot. But I have this peace and this joy that is like a child. And I mean, what's that worth? What would these people pay to have that? You know what I mean? To be like an innocent child. Innocent once again. Except you're not innocent, you're wise. Because the only way you can get there is to be wise enough to discern what's happening. Every cell, every space, every created object, everything that exists has this Christ force energy. This is Jesus, is Christ. I mean, it's, let me put it another way. It's all going to belong to the same person that created it. And I believe this world was created. I think one of the keys to the entire understanding of existence here is the book of Job. I think we never get tired of that. Job's going, why do you keep forgiving them? Why do you keep on praying when God has left you in this situation and destroyed you? Why do you keep the faith? And the answer is, God chose me for that because I'm strong. And I don't have the worst of it. I mean, we're talking about guys like Richard Wurmbrand, people in prison for their faith. You know, a lot of these J6ers are learning that, you know, about the joy in suffering. There's a tremendous joy in relishing in the victory of Christ, which is really your victory because you figured out the truth. They've done everything they could to make it so you can't figure it out. And in every situation, every interview, every social interaction, every school, every institution, every single aspect of life on earth is filled with people that have become part of the dying hierarchy, the hive mind, which seeks to, when they come at you, they don't need to coordinate. They're all in a hive. They have to listen. They listen. They get cute. It's almost like they have chips in their head. They all become this hive. And so it's easy to see. When you see that going on, you go, okay. And you go right to the Lord, right, for protection and for guidance as to what to do. And then you can relish in that and just say, Lord, you're just always there for me. Thank you, Lord. Or you might be in a situation where you don't know what the Lord wants you to do. You don't know how to be in his will. And it's, Lord, please help me to be in your will. I'm never going to be in the world. In my circumstance, my being different, I guess, in some a lot of ways, prevented that because people were, I guess, they're afraid of, you know, they I saw the way they acted when I was in the hospital. They acted, I mean, how'd they act toward me, Trish? It was weird, right?
Well, it was a battle.
It was a battle. Yeah. Because there's, you know, there you are, you're very vulnerable, you're in a bed, and, you know, anyone can see your position, and they're all 100% on the other side, except every once in a while there's like, I had a buddy down in the OR area who is a listener, and he's cool, he's kind of like, seems very like a really happy person, though, but he's contending with the onslaught of being the one guy where there's, and there's probably more than that, but there's being the one guy against all the rest of them. But you have to realize, we're not against them. We point out what they do. They said, you know, join, do this. They wouldn't even come to you to ask you to join anything. You're just too, you just won't fit in it. And, you know, they, when they, if they want relief from their guilt, their shame. I remember my mother used to, you know, a complete total psychopath, absolutely evil woman, you know, except for one little sliver of her that was like mom every once in a while. But I mean, she was like, totally was into, you know, into doing harm to others, you know, to get a benefit, a pop. And, you know, an extraordinary, a perfect example of the socialite, sort of Joan Crawford-esque kind of woman. In fact, she often would say that Joan Crawford was her role model. I know. Can't make that shit up. But, it's amazing that she felt that, like my brother and I, ruined her life because we were too different. I don't know how we got different. He was autistic, but they wanted to bury that fact and try to make him act normal. And then they did the same thing with me. And finally, they threw us both into loony bins. Both. 100% of the children are away at camp. You know what I mean? To force us to see the light. Can you imagine that? John the Baptist, another socially high-end family, John the Baptist family. Father is a priest, head of the church. Mother had to have been some kind of socialite, you know, in Jerusalem. And then they had John the Baptist as a child. Can you imagine? Can you imagine it? Now, they knew they couldn't change him, and they had a visit from the angel Gabriel, that Gabriel said that, you know, we want this child preserved. And, of course, his time did come when Salome demanded his head on a platter. You remember that. But he was to be left alone. So they had all these stories about him living in the wilderness and eating, you know, bugs and or whatever it was, you know, eating berries and, you know, wearing a tunic made of, you know, of bear hair and all that. But all that was meant to symbolize, in my view, because I'm a writer, I understand when they're using metaphors. All of that was to symbolize that what we already know about separation and the flipping of worlds, which is Christ. Jesus does not approve of this world. Period. At all. He didn't start the fight. And when if you see Christians form armies and go fight, you know, that's not really, they want to conquer Islam or conquer this or that. That's completely off the wall. It's not about that. It's about you. It's about your soul. It's about truth. It's about becoming the tabernacle of the Most High God. It's about this, you know, this sort of evolution beyond death and into the higher levels of truth, which we can't see from here. But we understand they exist. But Jesus, if you align with Jesus, you will not fit in the world. Well, some people, you know, God picked out from the beginning, and there just was no aligning from day one when they were babies. They were not going to align with them. It's not going to happen. It's a special child. They're just different. So here's how the abuser works. The world won't accept them. Sometimes they try to recruit them into, they're idiot savants or they're geniuses at something or other, you know, to take some of the pressure off of their being different. But usually it's, you know, the parents know there will be no conformity here. So they seek to kill, usually, the firstborn and hope that that has an influence on the secondborn to, you know, contribute to this world. But contributing to this world is kind of like, you know, pissing on a landfill. You're not contributing anything, Larry Fink and his ESG and all that. It's just everything you do with the money, the monopoly of money, is designed to kill people. Period. I mean, we know this, right? We know this. In my case, instead of my being dead, my brother was dead at 33. Interesting number. at the hands of a witch, which he was beguiled into being with. And she took advantage and slowly poisoned him to death. And I think the irony of ironies is my own mother suing for wrongful death and winning, where the criminal suit charges never pursued it. But wrongful death is pretty strong. Yeah, so that's my evidence there. So they poisoned him. Went to the funeral of Rick. And it was somewhere in North San Diego County, and I just don't remember where it was. Some place where you could dump the body off. Had a little chapel thing, and my mother was looking like she was crying. I was standing right next to her. Got back in the car, the limo or whatever it was, the car, and she wipes her eye off. She looks at me, smiling. She goes, "How did I do?" That's cold as ice, hard as nails. You're not gonna get. You know, it's just unbelievable. She was so happy to put him in the ground because she blamed him for ruining her life. That she could have had a bigger mansion or a bigger this or that or more Chanel coats or whatever it was. If he had just been, semi-cooperative. But he was so different that people, the kids, were scared of him down at the beach club and other places. So he was blamed. And, it was so bad that actually, he's a very gentle guy. There's nothing really wrong with him, but he was just different. Now, I have another friend who was also autistic, and he was a teacher. No names here, but I was very heartbroken when I, of course, temporarily, when I heard that the kids at the high school, he was actually teaching here in New Mexico, and the kids and the parents all ganged up on him to get him fired because they were afraid of him. He didn't fit in with like regular teachers, and so they developed all kinds of rumors about him which weren't true, and they like blunt force put him out, and he had to go home. That just breaks your heart. Yeah, a kid that wouldn't hurt a fly. And no sexual predator or anything like that. But these kids and these parents, see, he wasn't one of them, right? So he's evil. So now when you look at that situation of the school here and how they evilly ganged up and made up stories, made up things about him. And he was your friend. And now I'm telling you that there's nothing wrong with him. But the fate of these people in this school is cursed. And every one of them. Jeff Bezos is cursed. Zuckerberg is cursed. You can see it. You can see they look like a deer in the headlights spiritually. And there's, pretty much, you can, if the love of money is definitely blocked them from being able to see the truth. So they want to outlaw it. It's not that this world will ever win. The world was set up exactly the way it is for the purpose which it's serving, which is perfect. It's the vetting of souls. And the reward for people that see the truth to aid in their persecution is they get, not just glimpses of heaven, of God, of truth, but they're washed clean inside as they were when they were born. And if they backtrack or they, you know, they fall into sin or whatever, of course, that's going to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. But, you know, the whole point is the force is going to keep them on track, i.e. moving out of this, not moving into the world, not having offspring to set up a dynasty, but to move on, to move out, to be, you know, the pillars of all creation. To be not just the tabernacle of the Most High God, but the completion of God's work, which is why he made people in the image and likeness. To be not just satisfied, but giddy in love, thrilled, satisfied, excited. All of those feelings you had when you were a kid, when you were going to go to Disneyland for the first time or whatever it was. You know, and eventually all that got disappointed. Anyway, so that's the deal. And you know, the thing that people don't understand is they say, it's just a free will choice. Everybody's the same. Everyone has the same chance to play the game, to sell out. Wrong. Everybody does not have the same chance. God has preserved his own. We might just call them the meek. And of course, the joke is on the rich people. And when I say rich, I mean people that love money more than life, who love power more than life. The politicians, the hedge fund managers, the big entrepreneurs, the people that just live in money day in and day out. The cocktail parties, the social game that goes on at these parties. The hierarchies that are developed at these parties. The situation as it develops, which you get a glimpse of with people, what they have to do for fame and fortune. You get a little glimpse of Bieber there. But what, did you think it was something else? Did you think he earned it? This is a boy who's, you know, a young man who's completely lost. But there's, in that being lost right now in this world, there is a great chance for him to get it right. See, that's the other thing we don't think of. We don't, yeah, let him crash and burn. Serves him right. Well, they didn't know any better because that's all they've ever known. These people that have these ball-breaking mothers who sell their children to producers and entertain, you know, make them entertainers. You know, basically, they're selling them into slavery at 5 and 6 years old because they have some kind of talent. And they're taught to put out. If you don't have money to offer, if you don't have something else to offer, well, you've got skin. And they want those things rubbed on them. Sorry to put it that way. They want to be serviced as if they're God, as if they're the final word, as if they're the authority. And the way God sees them is they are less than the poor, less authoritative, less qualified for authority than the poor, less qualified for success than the degraded, the derelict. And so after a while, with this force of Christ, which affects all things and all consciousness, you know, you eventually start saying things that are kind of wise because they echo what Jesus taught, but they echo the real sentiment of God toward this world. You know, no, it's not the world of Genesis. I hate to, you know, now differ with people, but, you know, and God created man and woman and saw that it was good, and the animals and dominion and all that. No. There's something else. The creation wasn't done in the chapter one of Genesis. It continued to be developed. Satan didn't just, you know, the dragon, the serpent, didn't just take over. He was appointed to take over. See the book of Job for confirmation and proof on that. There can only be one conclusion. And you know, in the end, there are people that die tragically, that unlucky things happen to them, and it shouldn't have happened according to when your logic. But we don't know what God was doing in the love, with respect to that person that had such unlucky times. We don't know what was being worked out. Well, what's being worked out is we have to give up everything to be acceptable before the Lord. Right? Because there's no room for other gods. People get in trouble when they go to other gods. You know, money, celebrities, rock bands, teams, yachts, et cetera, et cetera. Shiny objects, okay? No, Jesus will beat that right out of you to where there is no desire for any of that, because desire is what kills the whole world. So anyone truly walking with Christ will be, even if they don't think they're doing anything for the Lord, they will remain separate in the sense that the others, the world, can see you. I see you, they said to me. They can see me. They can see. I don't have to go do anything or talk back to anyone or quote any scriptures or do anything for them to see who I am, which is not one of them. Hallelujah. Because the end game of them, where they are heading, is complete total destruction. As if they never were. As if none of this ever happened. No, there is no party in hell. These different worlds flip around, and you can wind up in a world. Earth is completely malleable, right? So you can wind up here in a world where you're surrounded with, you know, all kinds of things can change. So that's my, you know, my talk about today. It's, you know, please leave room for God to change you and stop pressuring yourself to do it all on your own. It doesn't even matter if you're the Lord's. You've already, just by being, you could just stand there and do nothing the rest of your life, and you'd be making a huge contribution to truth, to love, to peace within. You can't have peace within being connected to all these people that are trying to kill each other. There's just no peace. And so they use money as a way to have a temporary, you know, peace. And I admit, money can do some great things for the people of God. People that need help. A lot of people need help. But it seems like the richest among us don't tend to be into that. There's plenty for everybody, but for the hoarders, you know, maybe not. Look at the ocean. Look how much space there is. Look how many fish there are, enough to feed everybody a million times over for generations. And a priest says to me, nope, man still has to make a living. In other words, you still have to belong to some cult or guild or something to be able to go out there and fish. You can't just go out there. There's a regulation. You have to report it. You've got to, right? Everything. Why do you think everything is regulated here? Because it's all regulated against Christ, against Jesus. That's the whole point, to keep that out. That this is their world. And God never said it was their world. The way they're acting is exactly what God wants them to act like. Because they're vetting God's people. There is no people of God without suffering. Suffering is a very, you know, big component of it, and a lot of people don't want to suffer. But folks, everybody's suffering. They are suffering. Suffering knowing that at the end of your life at 70 plus years, maybe that's it, versus the person that's going home with the Lord who's all excited. Now, we must, the only real redemption of our lives is to regain that childhood innocence, that spark of life. And that is exactly what God is doing. It's called restoration. Restore you to what? When you were 20? No, how about restore you to the time of creation? To the happy child that doesn't know anything's going on. To the, but yet has the wisdom of the ages. Because everybody gets the wisdom of the ages. Because the wisdom of the ages is designed to keep you from getting sucked into a maelstrom that goes nowhere. Eventually people will get it. They'll see the golf clubs and the polo shirts and they'll get sick to their stomachs. But it may take a while for them to understand. And God's got nothing but time. Yeah. He's got nothing but time. He's got nothing but time. You know, and all the people that think the eclipse, the New Agers are all calling it the real Great Reset. And so they're ginning it all up again, folks. And my attitude is, wah, wah, wah. I don't care about the eclipse. It's interesting, but it's not really on my radar. If things shift and we could have had a nuclear war already. I mean, there's a lot of things out there you can follow if you like. But the eclipse is not something that interests me, other than, you know, it's interesting, I suppose. The whole cosmos, you know, can tell us things from the sky. But beyond the cosmos is what I'm most interested in. And the part of the cosmos that the people can't see, that's what I'm interested in. I don't need to be shown billboards from space. I already know it's a dire situation. I already know that people are perishing. I already know what Jesus said. My people perish due to ignorance, he said. They don't understand what they do. Yeah, and so I can't get really mad at them. I'm not mad at Jeff Bezos or mad. I mean, I don't like the fact they burnt down Maui and put all those people in work camps and stole from the people and then act like they're the big non-racists. They love the Hawaiians. And I feel sorry for the, you know, but I actually think that Hawaii, you know, just in my basic knowledge, which I don't know that much about geopolitics and like somebody that's an expert, but I do know that it would make sense to me to have Maui be for, you know, Hawaiians. Although it's a big melting pot too. So I feel bad that they got their land stolen. I feel bad that the public officials and people that are Hawaiians that work for the government aided and abetted the military-industrial complex in torching Lahaina. They have a plan. Lahaina is the jewel. So that's going to be the jewel of the New World Order, believe it or not. That's their jewel. That's their crown. So by Jove, they're not going to let the Hawaiians have it. Bezos has to move in there. I'm kind of concerned with stupid rock stars who think they can go party. We got to go, yeah. Doctor appointment today. Gonna see the cardiologist. I got a lot wrong with me.
You got a lot right with you.
And I don't feel very much up to par, but it doesn't matter because, you know, I'm just a living example of what I've been talking about today. What?
Happy birthday, Pia.
Oh, Pia. I didn't see any birthday thing for her on the...
There is.
So happy birthday, Pia. Pia helps me with the Zeph report, and I really appreciate it. And, you know, check your mail later on. I would do something like, you know, take her out to lunch or something.
I
here.
I probably give her a call after that.
Yeah, but I don't know what I'm facing here with the, you know, cardio guy. You know what I mean? You need to be in the hospital. Well, sorry, I'm not going to go. Well, I think we need to talk to you. I'm not going back there, folks.
No. You got a lot right with you, Zeph. Let's focus on that.
I want you in the hospital. And I want me in a fur coat, despite what the animal rights people say. Diane, yes, Jeff? Well, you know what I'm going to say. Yes, but I love the way you say it.
For those who may be confused about that outburst, that's some lines from Angel's Tide.
Yes, but I love the way you say it. No more than 3 months at this rate. That sounds so final. Get some help, Diane. That's what I'm trying to do as she lowers her gown to try to get...
Come on, don't give away the whole story.
Okay. All right, folks. Just chin up because I know there's a lot of tears. I've shed a lot of tears, too, over my, you know, physical situation and, you know, all that. But, I mean, you know, the inside I have a real strong, you know, just like a rock core that's joy and light and love and wisdom and peace. And the world, my God, I through no effort on my own, through no intelligence on my own, I was kept out of it. That's, I guess the way God made me, you know, whatever, but it was just like John the Baptist. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I'll tell you one thing. Better that I don't act like a fool and try to please them and try to be one of them. You know, I know who I am. They know who they are, but they know who I am. They know who I am before, millions of years before I ever knew who I was. They knew. And they always know. So there's no sense trying to fool them. Folks, if you're in spiritual warfare trying to just get through, you forget about it. It's not going to work. You are who you are, and they know who you are, and there's just no sense trying to lie. And that's what it is, a lie, when you act like, well, I'm kind of one of them now. And you dress like them, you look like them, you say some cool phrases, but they're never going to accept you. In fact, they're going to try to trip you up when they can. It's just the way it is. And when you learn that, you have great peace. I guarantee it. Peace in your heart. I have peace right now. You can tell. I have no regrets. I don't wish God would have made me different. And for all I know, he made Rick and I the same. Probably because, you know, two brothers. Probably because that was to help my mother out. Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe it did make a difference. Because I think she understood at the end of her life that no amount of manipulation, incarceration, games, poisonings, and all kinds of criminality could bludgeon a person into place. You are what you are. Free will is a joke when it comes to who you are. You are who you are. I want to use my free will to choose Satan. Well, you go ahead and choose Satan. You'll be dead within the hour. Because it's just the way it is. Just the way it is. It is what it is. There's no sense. You might as well dress up like Bozo the Clown and be really loud out there. And just be, and they'll all act like they don't even see you. I don't know this guy. And yes, it all hurts. But in the end, there's peace. Better peace than they would ever know. Better happiness than they would ever know. Better joy than they would ever know. They'll never know the peace you have. And with that, I bid you shalom. And we'll see you next time.